How are you, Dick?
Well, it's a good time, boys. Good time in sports. I mean, we were four, right to the Masters, right to the NBA play.
Mate, we're going to try and re-establish your light. It's a bit of a dodgy one, but yeah, they've got the NFL draft just over a week away. The ratings for that will be absolutely through the roof. They had the WNBA draft yesterday. Naturally, Caitlin Clark went number one to the Indiana Fever. I don't think you can get any sort of merchandise related to her at all at the moment. It just all sold out straight away. We'll get the Masters fallout from Dick as well. And naturally, preview the playoffs in the NBA. We got the play-in games this morning. And that's 9 o'clock. In fact, no, there's one at 9:30, I'm pretty sure, today, our time for the NBA playing games. Yes, the Lakers and the Pelicans at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. And then at midday, it is the Golden State Warriors and the Sacramento Kings. So we'll get all Dick's thoughts on everything going on there when we get him back shortly. I think we got him. Dick, sorry, mate. We just had a dodgy line there. We got you back. We got you there, Dick.
Yeah, I got you.
Beautiful. Sorry, mate. We've got the line going good now. So, yeah, great time.
Good.
Obviously, in sport over there in the States. And firstly, let's start with the Masters fallout. Scottie Scheffler, the market had him short, and he delivered for those who took the short odds. What did you make of the Masters, and what sort of has come out in the aftermath?
I think the only surprise, guys, was that it took Scottie Scheffler until the last nine to pull away. I was making mention on Thursday on my radio show after the first round was done, and Scottie was right there along with Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, you saw those two, and you said, okay, which one of these two is going to be able to last 4 days? And not one person out of 100 golf fans would say Bryson DeChambeau is going to be the guy that lasts 4 days and Scottie Scheffler is going to be the one that doesn't. I mean, it was a highly predictable outcome to the tournament based upon what happened after day one. And all I wanted to see was Scottie just be somewhere in contention and watch some of his putts fall. Because if some of Scottie Scheffler's putts fall, he cannot be matched in this on this planet. And we talked a month or two ago about how Scottie was Tiger-esque in his ball striking. And the only thing he needs to do is putt reasonably well, and he can't be touched in these tournaments. And now, the heritage is another story because he's about to have a baby, and I don't think he's going to focus very much if he's going to play at all this week. But as far as the Masters goes, that was Scottie's from beginning to end, and he truly showed that he is the greatest golfer on the planet since Tiger Woods. I think he has proved that he's the greatest golfer on the planet since prime Tiger Woods.
Dick, from an Australian point of view, Cameron Smith. He always seems to play well at Augusta. I think he's his sixth top 10 in the Masters since he started playing there. But, geez, I tell you what, it's that green jacket's proving more and more elusive year by year for him.
It is, but he's always there. And it's so funny because when you guys asked me about, you kind of caught me off guard with the low Aussie, and I just kind of defaulted to Adam Scott and Jason Day. And yet, we've been talking about Cam Smith at Augusta for years and years and years. And as soon as I hung up the phone with you guys last week, I was like, why didn't I say anything about Cam Smith? I always loved Cam Smith at Augusta. And so I was kicking myself all week long for that. But certainly he did a marvelous job as always. He's got the chops to win one of these days. Will he be able to continue to play on LIV year after year after year and not face a lot of the best competition in the world and still be primed to win a Masters? I don't think it helps him to be on LIV, I'll tell you that. I think it definitely hurts his chances to win on the at the Masters. But how about the other Cam guys? And a guy that is live for this week at the Heritage, Cam Davis plays very well at the Heritage. He played surprisingly well at the Masters this week. I did not anticipate such a high finish for Cam. I believe he was 12th, but he's a guy I really like at Hilton Head today this week.
And Dick, Caitlin Clark gets first pick in the WNBA draft. Where's she off to?
She's off to Indiana, guys. And the absolute buzz surrounding her is not just in Indiana, where they have basically sold out the season. They have sold out their arena for the season. It's a full-size NBA arena, 17,000, 18,000. but she is selling out arenas across the country. So, like, for example, the Storm season tickets or single game tickets went on sale yesterday. The Storm sold out the lower bowl, and they had to open up the upper bowl for the two Indiana games with Caitlin Clark. And I would imagine we'll have, for a Caitlin Clark road game, we'll have 14 or 15,000 fans for both of those games here in Seattle. It's amazing.
Incredible. Okay, ahead of the Olympic Games, I see the Team USA roster is being finalized for the Paris Games. Gee. LeBron, Steph, KD, Embiid. It looks like the big guns are all going to go.
Big guns are going to give it a go, but it kind of looks like a 2016 roster, doesn't it? Instead of a 2024 roster. I mean, that was the first thing I thought was, wow, all the big guns are going to be there. But then the second thing I thought is, man, that's an old basketball team in large part. And there's not a lot of post play. And you know these teams around the world love their bigs and love their back-to-the-basket game. And really, Joel Embiid's the only true center that this basketball team has. So, yes, it's got the star power. Yes, it will be highly competitive. But I'm not ready to say that Team USA is just going to run away with the gold medal. I mean, they've got to prove that they can come together. They can take it seriously. And you know, that usually happens in the Olympics. It doesn't happen in the World Championships. But they were pushed in the World Championships last time around. So it'll be interesting to see also who that 12th spot goes to.
Dick, let's head to the NBA playoffs as a preview. What matchups are you looking forward to?
Well, the number one matchup, let's just start with the night, guys. Let's start in 3 hours. The Lakers and the Pelicans rematch of a game of a couple of days ago where the Lakers knocked the Pelicans into the play-in game, just blew them out, 124-110, I believe the final score was. The Lakers appear poised going into this playoffs. I've already bet on them to win tonight. The spread was surprisingly close, in my opinion. It was just a point and a half. And I just think the Lakers are well suited to beat the Pelicans. The only question out there, not from me, but from national guys, is will the Lakers try to blow this game so they don't get the 7 seed, so they don't have to face Denver in the first round? Because Denver is the number 2. They would play the number 7. My take is simply this. I think you want Denver early in the playoffs. If you are going to get Denver and you're the Lakers, you're going to get them early in the playoffs when you are fresh and rested. And first round games are further spaced apart than they are later in the playoffs. So you're going to get a fresher LeBron, a fresher AD against Denver if you face them in the first round than if you were to face them in the conference finals.
I just cannot believe that argument. So tank this game to go into a one-off game, potentially against Steph and the Warriors, who can turn it on on any given night. How is that even a suggestion? I just can't believe
guys,
that.
I heard it from two separate people that make a lot more money than I do in the national media, one being Stephen A. Smith, who is probably the most popular American. He was just throwing it out there. And then Mike Greenberg on ESPN today was thinking it was a good idea. I just think that the rest that the Lakers would get. Yes, Denver is better than Oklahoma City. Yes, all things being equal, I would rather face a young Oklahoma City team in the first round than Denver in the first round. But if my objective is to go to the finals, which you're going to have to beat Denver at some point to go to the finals, if that's my objective, which is clearly LeBron and AD's objective, then get Denver early when you are fresher, not later on down the road when you've already played 15 to 20 playoff games.
Naturally, the 4-5 of the 3-6 series in both conferences are already decided. And interested in your thoughts. Well, firstly, on the Milwaukee Bucks against the Indiana Pacers. And in the series winner market, this is very, very close. Milwaukee, $1.85 with us at tab. Indiana, $1.95. And I guess this is all due to the fact that Giannis is missing the start of the series, isn't he, Dick?
He is. He's got that bad leg that's just a strain, which is good news, but he's going to miss the beginning of this series. Indiana, guys, looks really, really good. And Milwaukee just hasn't been the same since really midseason, since Doc Rivers took over. It just doesn't seem like a cohesive unit. Indiana is an outstanding offensive team. I mean, this is a team that can just absolutely light it up, led by you know, Tyrese Halliburton is absolutely fantastic. 20 points a game, 11 assists per game. They're a team that's dangerous, and I'm kind of leaning Indiana in that series. I think it's about, you know, it's about even money as far as who you're going to play. I just don't think I don't think Milwaukee can handle long term in this playoffs because they've got some offensive issues. They like to slow it down. Indiana likes to speed it up. And if you don't have Giannis in there for a couple of games, I think Indiana jumps on him early, and I think they probably hold them off in this series.
The two series in the West that we know about as well, Dallas $1.80, Clippers $2, and Phoenix $1.85, Minnesota $1.95. Who do you think goes through to the conference semifinals out of those two series?
Yeah, it's funny. I like both Minnesota and Phoenix, but they're playing each other. I don't like Dallas or the Clippers, and they're playing each other. So I wish it was a team that I liked against the team that I didn't like. So that makes it difficult for me. You know, I'm honestly laying off both series. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy. I think the intrigue about that Phoenix series is you've got the veteran Phoenix team against the young Minnesota team. I sat down and watched a veteran Phoenix team edge out a young, exciting Sacramento team just a couple of nights ago in Sacramento, winning by 1 point. That was an outstanding basketball game. Phoenix played well. There are just so many great teams in the Western Conference, guys. If you look at these Western Conference standings, just 5 years ago, 46 wins would have put you at the 5 seed in the Western Conference. This year, Golden State has 46 wins, and they're in the 10 seed in the Western Conference. That is how great this conference is. This is probably the deepest Western Conference maybe I have ever seen. Certainly I've seen in the Steph LeBron era. There's no question about that. And you look back at the Eastern Conference, you got two teams making the playoffs, the Chicago Bulls and the Atlanta Hawks, winning 39 and 36 games. Atlanta's 10 games under 500, and they're playing in the same seed, same game that Golden State is, with a 10 games better record than Atlanta.
Amazing. We've got a few of our listeners texting in, Dick. Sven from Greenpoint wants to know, what's your biggest round one draft surprise for next week?
Ooh, biggest round one draft surprise. You know, Michael Penix is a guy that originally was being talked about going in the second round. I think general managers realize what we realize here in Seattle is that Michael Penix is a lock to be a top half quarterback in this NFL, maybe even a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. And if you can secure yourself a safe top 10, top 12 quarterback in the NFL and get it with mid to late first round value, I think you have to do that. So I see Las Vegas Raiders taking Michael Penix much earlier than most people originally expected Penix would go, which is early first round or early second round.
While we're on quarterbacks in the draft, Graham at Currajong says, morning, Dick. It looks like the Minnesota Vikings are going to have to trade up. Do they select Drake May or JJ McCarthy? And what do the Giants do? Because Daniel Jones, well, in Graham's word, sucks.
Yeah. Well, he's right about that, and he's also coming off an injury as well. So not only does he suck, he's also injured. But the Giants did report today that he should be ready for camp, so he should have no problem. I'm not a big J.J. McCarthy guy. I've seen him much more than I have Drake May. I think J.J. McCarthy is an excellent athlete. I think he's an excellent leader. He's kind of like Bo Nix in my mind. I don't think either one of them are great downfield passers. If they can get into an offense which is a little more Kansas City-like, where it's kind of move the quarterback around, dump it off to tight ends, throw it short, and let the wide receivers do damage after that, I think they can succeed in this league. If they want to go to a drop-back style and throw it downfield, which is much more Michael Penix's MO, that's not going to work in my mind for J.J. McCarthy. Drake May is much more like Michael Penix. He's got a bigger arm. He can throw downfield with a little more accuracy. I'm not a huge fan of either one of them, guys. I like Caleb Williams a lot. I think he can be special. There are a few red flags there. Jaden Daniels is a tremendous athlete, but there's some upside there for him to be kind of a Jalen Hurts esque type of quarterback, just a little bit smaller, and then Michael Penix. But other than that, guys, I don't think there's a sure thing in this NFL draft at the quarterback position.
Just before you go, heading into the NHL playoffs, is there a team we should be betting on? 7-1 the field, ooh, so it's very, very tight.
It is very, very tight. I mean, my Kraken have had a massively disappointing season. Boston, remember, Boston's the team last year that was the number one seed, and they ended up losing in the first round. So I think they're going to be hungry this year after that failure of last year. They were the laughing stock of the NHL. I believe they had the best record ever to lose in the first round of the NHL playoffs. So I think a motivated Boston team is going to be tough to beat.
Okay, they're 10-1, $11 with Tab. Mate, you have a great day. Thanks as always.
Thanks, boys. See ya.